This is East Carolina offensive coordinator Donnie Kirkpatrick. We are talking one of my favorite things, Pirate Football, on the Sports Objective, the official, unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Where it is a first down. Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective, as we're under the lights of Thursday night. With us right now, we have Kyle from LaGrange. Barber, how are you, man?
What's going on, guys? It's good to be here on a Thursday night and be done with work for 12 days. How's everybody doing?
Doing great. The Christmas break that you have, that's nice, that like our guests have. Matt, Semenza, I know you have to work for a living. You and I both have to work all the time, so we don't understand what this whole Christmas break thing is, right?
Yeah, I mean, between Will, who has the next month off, and Kyle, who has 12 days, I'm extremely jealous. I'm not going to lie. I'm sure I know Kyle will be rubbing that in for the next 12 days, right?
Yeah. Hey, what do you hear about Bubba's break? Matt, he's a teacher.
Oh, yeah, it'll be, I guess, 14, 15 days at least, maybe 16. So,
yeah, but who's counting?
Must be nice, fellas. Must be nice.
What's up, Bubba Rosenbaum?
Doing well, guys. I'm really looking forward to getting down to the Spectrum Center tomorrow afternoon and getting the opportunity to see the Pirates in person for the first time this year. Very challenging game against Liberty. That's a program that's averaged 27 wins per season over the last 3 years. So hopefully Joe Dooley and the Pirates will be able to get number 9 tomorrow.
No doubt about looking forward to that. And, of course, we'll have our overtime sometime after the game. We can promise you that. Bubba, very excited, though, that those of us that are, I would say every person on this show is a football uniform or uniform period nerd, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, always love to see what the Pirates are going to wear. And, when you take a look at it, over the last, week and a half, Pirate Nation has become well aware of this guy. Welcome into the show. The winner of the uniform design contest, Will Treadaway. Will, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me.
I'm very excited to have you on because, obviously, every single Pirate fan has an opinion. And especially when it comes to uniforms. And I'll tell you why I'm excited, Will, because usually when we're talking about uniforms means the Pirates are winning. We're not talking about the bad play or this coach or that coach or this or the coordinators. Well, okay, maybe not that far. But when it comes down to this particular situation, you had a really cool opportunity that most Pirates would kill for, including all the guys here. You had a chance to design the ECU football uniform. And let me just start off. Let's clarify a few things. These are not throwbacks to 2019, right?
I can't comment on what they are. Oh, okay. They're not 2019.
Well, they're throwbacks to 2019, Will. Yeah.
They are not 2019 uniforms. No.
Right.
They are going to be 2022 uniforms.
Right. I wanted to clear that. I'm not trying to ask you, unlike Kyle in the green room, I'm not trying to ask you. Yes, I just threw you under the bus, Kyle. Green room, trying to get all the he's went fishing, by the way, Bubba, for a couple hours here while we were waiting on you in the green room, and he trying to find out, which that was smart. Give you credit, Kyle. That was very smart. But this is like The Voice or Survivor or Bachelor. You're having to keep everything secret, right? Will you?
Yeah, it's very hard because I'm so excited to share them, but I do have to kind of keep it quiet, and I do want to keep it quiet too because kind of build some excitement around them, people guessing at what they are. I think they're going to be pretty cool though.
Yeah, and what Dave was alluding to about clearing some things up, there was a video released, and in the video there was some uniforms shown. Those uniforms were for 2019. Those are not the uniforms Will designed, and this past season, 2021, or the season we're still in, are not the uniforms Will designed. The uniforms Will designed are going to be used during the 2022 season and have not been debuted yet. It will not be debuted anytime soon. They got to be designed by Adidas, or they got to be made by Adidas first, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So just to clarify that for people that I saw discussing it that were quite confused, that have poor reading comprehension and comprehension in general. So the uniforms are forthcoming. And Will, one thing that's been alluded to, it sounds like they're not going to be primary uniforms. They're going to be an alternate uniform, but they're going to be able to be mixed in also with the primary uniforms.
Yes. So that was part of the requirements when designing it was versatility. Because I'm not 100% sure, but I think the way that we decide on what uniforms we wear each week is Coach Houston and the team just kind of say, let's wear the black helmet with the black jersey and yellow pants this week. So they don't always stick with the same combination of the three. So we intentionally have to make them so that they can be mixed and matched.
Gotcha. Now, Will, without giving away too much information, I think you mentioned on the video that you tried to take a look at other programs with a similar color scheme. Who are some of the programs, just out of curiosity, if you can share, that you took a look at?
I looked at both college and professional teams. I just looked at for mostly purple. So LSU was a big one because I know they use purple and gold. TCU uses purple. I even looked at the Minnesota Vikings. I just tried to see how they use purple and how they balanced it with the other colors because it's such a unique color.
Sure.
And I wanted to make something different because I feel like a lot of the LSU, TCU, Vikings are kind of the same.
Right. That's interesting. I personally, I love the Vikings, the way they use the color scheme. Mm-hmm. So, I applaud you for doing that.
Now, can you confirm or deny that it's going to be a striped jersey, kind of a horizontal striped jersey, alternating purple and gold lines? I've heard rumors. Is that true?
I can give you absolutely no information on what the jersey looks like right now.
Plaid pants. Plaid pants. I've heard plaid pants.
Yes, they're plaid pants.
There we go.
No, they're.
And then up top, we're going with the pirate zebra look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That'd be nice. A lot, kind of like the Bengals.
Yeah, we actually made them NC State red.
That's good. The no quarter. You went with the no quarter logo. Now that's a good idea. Now, would that work? Could we do a red helmet with the no quarter up there? Could you get away with that?
I think we could have gotten away with that. Red, obviously, yeah, I don't think it would have won the competition. And I just because red is not our color. If you see red in North Carolina, you're going to think of NC State. You know.
And yesterday during the signing day broadcast on ESPN+, that was actually brought up by Director of Athletics John Gilbert when discussing the contest. He said that there was an entry that had a no quarter theme, both the helmet and the uniform itself, as far as jersey and pants. But obviously, it did not win. But he did say he acted like it was sharp looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did get to see the other contestants' uniforms, and they were all very good. They're all my classmates, so I knew them pretty well going into this. And they're all super talented graphic designers. So it just made it even more special to me to win that I beat out some of the best graphic designers I know.
Is there like
all of them did great.
Will, is there like one guy that's like your rival that like that dude? Oh my God, if he wins, oh man, he's like the toughest graphic designer out there.
And I don't think so. I would have been happy for any of them who won. I think all of us deserved it, you know, because they were all great. But no, I'm in class with them all the time. We're all in like this graphic design guild where we learned about it. And they all congratulated me and they were all very happy for me. But they all did fantastic work. And I think
what you got to say is, look, I won because my design was the best. All the rest of these guys, they tried and they're good. They're good. They do a good job. But I'm the top dog. I'm the big bad booty daddy of graphic design art at East Carolina University. And everybody else pales in comparison.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
I've told a couple people this.
I may have won that competition, but I don't think I was the best graphic designer in that room. There are some very talented designers in there with me. I just happen to love football, and this competition meant just so much to me because I love football that I think that worked to my advantage a little bit.
Will, can you talk about any of the other entries? Can you talk about their uniforms or not?
I can. I just don't really remember a lot of them off the top of my head. We didn't get to watch each other's presentations.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not memorable. They weren't memorable.
No, we weren't allowed in the room. But wow. I saw like glimpses of some of them. So the one with the no quarter theme.
Was it red?
It wasn't completely red. There were like hints of red. You know, it was like it wasn't a primary red.
Was it red on purple or red on black?
I believe it was red on black.
I could see the no quarter flag on the matte black helmet like we wore against Cincinnati. I could see that looking very sharp.
Yeah.
Because
I kinda wanna see that.
It's not really a true red. It's not an NC State red.
Right.
Yeah, kinda wanna see that now. I think it would be cool to have a no quarter helmet and put it on at the start of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I don't know the college rules about switching helmets, but I have a feeling they wouldn't let you change.
Probably a 15-yard, probably a 15-yard penalty. seriously,
they throw a flag, a 15-yard penalty for every hit anyway. So why not tack another one on?
Well, here, Matt, did you know this rule? I mean, you played, and Bubba, you may know this rule too. You can. All right, let's say you're the away team, right? Let's say East Carolina is the away team in the Military Bowl, for example. But we want to wear black or purple jerseys. But Boston College will not agree to it. We can do that anyway, but we're going to get a 15-yard penalty to start the game.
Are you serious? Good Lord.
Yep. I've heard that. That is a real thing. Yep, that is a real – Southern Miss did that in the New Orleans Bowl a few years ago. They were the away team. They wanted to wear their home jersey. I want to say that maybe they were playing Arkansas State. Arkansas State wouldn't agree to it, so they did it anyway and took the 15-yard penalty to start the game.
Speaking of that, I will say in the Military Bowl, the Pirates, according to Coach Houston, he said that we are the home team. So it'll be interesting to see if we wear all purple or what we choose to wear against Boston College here in a week and a half. But
let's wear the white. Let's wear the away one, that we were there just a few weeks ago, right?
I will say, as far as the current uniform, I'm a big fan of the majority, most aspects of it, but at the same time, the stripe on the white pants as well as the gold stripe on the purple pants, not a huge fan of that, especially the type of stripe. If it was a more traditional stripe, that would have been more to my liking. But, you know, the biggest thing, I think, I also didn't like the way we didn't wear the purple jerseys with the white pants at home at all.
Yeah, I'll tell you, they definitely tried to, you know, every week it seemed like they tried to come up with a different combination. Some of them I like better than others. Now, one of the questions I had for you guys, and I'll actually throw this to Will, what did you guys think about the jerseys when we went with just the ECU on the front versus the East Carolina? Were you guys fans of that or no?
Not at all.
I'm personally not a fan of that because I spent some time away from North Carolina this year, and people asked me where I went to school, and I would tell them ECU, and they wouldn't know where that is. Okay. People have heard of East Carolina more than they've heard of ECU, which I thought was surprising personally, but because I know there are other schools, like maybe Eastern Colorado. There's other ECUs.
East Central University is the one I know of.
Yeah, I know there's others. So I personally like East Carolina over ECU. But
now, Will, what I'm trying to do here, since you can't answer straight up, I'm trying to ask you questions like this to backdoor you into basically, you know, spilling the beans here. So we've uncovered that. It's not ECU.
Well,
I know what you're doing, and maybe I'm lying to make you think the other way.
Well, I can promise you it's not going to say ECU. I promise you it's not going to say ECU. It's going to say East Carolina, and that's way deeper than Will. That we had a douchebag chancellor by the name of what was douchebag chancellor's name, Dave?
What?
Which one?
Beth Merkelson.
Cecil Staton.
Cecil Staton didn't like the name East Carolina, and he wanted to rebrand ECU. That's where those ECU on the jerseys came from, Matt. Cecil Staton wanted ECU on the jerseys. He put ECUs in the end zone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when Cecil got out of here and Comfort got out of here and John Gilbert came in, that was one of the first things he changed, was changed it back to East Carolina. So one thing I can guarantee you, it's not going to say – our black jerseys still say ECU because they were previous designs. We hadn't got an updated black jersey in a couple years. But the purple and white jerseys both say East Carolina, and I guarantee you the new jerseys are going to say East Carolina, not ECU, whether Will wants them to or not.
Now, guys, before we get too far away from what Will mentioned a couple minutes ago, Will, when you're talking about your presentation, you know, give us a glimpse behind the scenes, even though you can't talk about the uniform. Just tell us what it was like giving the presentation, and roughly how long was it, and some of the things you really emphasized and how you went about it.
Well, I'm sure you guys have all watched the video that I was interviewed on. I kind of touched a little bit on what the presentation was like. The actual jersey competition, there were like four aspects we had to keep in mind. It was concept, versatility, branding, and my mind's slipping on the other one. But concept was my main one. I kept in mind that like I wanted to make a jersey that looked really good and that people would like, but I wanted there to be reason why it looked the way it did. So everything about the jersey, I can't give away now, but there's reasons that it looks that way. And we're going to explain why it is what it is when we reveal it. I've been coming up with ideas for the reveal that I think will be pretty cool. Cause I'm working with football, with the football creative services department. Figuring out how we're going to reveal it, when we're going to reveal it, and stuff like that.
Do we have any ideas to win yet?
No idea. Right now, all I know is 100% of the focus of football is on bowl game and recruiting, because signing day was yesterday. But that's kind of been put on the back burner for right now.
Hey, and we'll talk about some of those creative design folks. I'm sorry, Dave. Some of those creative design folks with ECU football, because they do terrific work, specifically Jarrett.
Mm-hmm. Jarrett Osmick.
Sorry, Jarrett.
Yeah, Jarrett is great. I work with him pretty regularly. He makes all those videos that you see, the We Are the East videos, the hype videos before every game. He does a lot of graphics. And then there's a student who's about to graduate, Steven. He does photography and graphic design. He makes a lot of recruiting graphics that most of us don't get to see, but he does a great job with those that really helps us in recruiting. A lot of people don't know about how much we send to the recruits and stuff like that, but it's a pretty big deal. And then all of our social media, all of our photographers, and they just do such a great job.
Can you talk about how long did it take you from the time we talked to you about this in the green room, but I want the fans of Pirate Nation to know this. How long did it take you for the whole process of the time you found out about the competition to the presentation?
So I found out about it probably in early October, and then I presented in early November. So it was about a month between when I started and when I presented. As soon as I started working on the designs, I spent a little too much time on it. I fell a little behind on my schoolwork because I spent more time doing my jersey designs, but I probably came up with 15 designs. And then the hardest part was narrowing it down to one to submit. But I eventually did that, and it was pretty fun.
Are you allowed to tell us ones that didn't make the cut?
There was a... I probably shouldn't.
Okay. All right.
Because if I do, then you'll know what the real jersey doesn't look like.
Okay.
So. Very smart. Very smart, Will.
I have an idea for you. If for the reveal, okay? We're going to win the bowl game, right? So let's have a huge celebration at sometime in January where we have the reveal of the pirate uniform.
It's not going to be that soon.
You don't think it's that soon? Okay.
Oh, no. We have to it's going to take a while to make them, I'm sure.
But we can't see, like, the – it will be, like, I know you won't have the actual – the jersey, but I'm
Adidas
saying,
has got to approve everything before they can release anything. I'm assuming, correct, Will?
I believe so, but I know that, like, we have a – our equipment manager works with the Adidas person, and he told me – or he told us that he's pretty sure that it's going to get approved. It's just whether or not they're able to make it look the way I want it to look. There might be some slight changes. But and then I know once they actually do approve it, I have no idea what the timeline is of how long it takes for them to actually be made and sent to ECU. Because when we reveal them, we want to reveal the actual like fabric of the jersey rather than just a what if, you know?
Will we see it first here on the Sports Objective? Well, you can you come on our show and like?
I cannot do that.
Oh man!
I'll say that they'll probably be first revealed on ECU Football's account.
Of course, I'm messing with it.
hey, Will. So, I'm just curious. You know, how many schools around the country are doing this?
I honestly have no idea. I've never heard of any other school doing this.
Okay. Yeah, because I haven't either. So I think it's a great concept.
I love it personally. I wish more schools would do it because getting a student involved like this is a dream come true for me. I never thought I'd be able to do this. You know, I love football. I love doing design. This is my biggest accomplishment. It's the coolest thing in the world to me. And I wish other students would get the opportunities to do that because I would love to see my jerseys against somebody from NC State's jerseys, you know, like two student made jerseys playing against each other would be pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I know a lot of schools have really talented designers that could come up with some pretty cool jerseys.
Now, Will, here in the last few weeks, Houston McCullough, ECU Athletics content manager, she announced that she would be moving on from her position. Have you heard anything about who East Carolina may be hiring as her replacement?
I have not. I work very closely with Houston. Houston is kind of my mentor. It's going to be very hard to replace her just because she's done such an incredible job. I don't know who's going to be taking over for her. I know I'll be working with whoever that is to kind of help. But we're going to miss Houston a lot. And hopefully we can get somebody to do half as well as she did because she did an incredible job.
No doubt about it. The whole uniform thing, like I was saying with the Pirates, I'm just happy to see this competition. I think it's great. It also reminds just guys about think about all the programs in this country of the 130. Imagine how many of these fan bases would love to have, you know, the passion, the Pirates. You know, you think about the history that we have and the tailgates.
Well, we have a great, and I don't think this is where you were going with that, but we have a great mascot to work with, and that's something that I think is underutilized. The pirate, and I don't know if that's something we'll utilize in the uniform. By the way, did you get to design a helmet at all, or is it just going to be whatever helmet we have?
I got to design a helmet, a jersey, and the pants.
Okay, cool. I
designed a full spread.
Did you design one color? Okay. Did you design multiple colors of the same design, or is like if the helmet is purple, or did you design like a white, purple, black, yellow?
I designed one of just one set. So
Gotcha.
There's not multiple variations of my jersey.
Got you, but it can be worked in with the other stuff. Got you. Yes. Okay, that's interesting. Well, I know a lot of people more hope for a something with a retro look. I wouldn't mind a retro look with a modern flair. I hope it's something really pirate themed. That's what I'd really like to see, is something really piratey. Long as it's not a finger hook. finger hook is so stupid. But you know, there could be some cool. Yeah, that's gay. There could, and I don't. Yeah, it's. I like the crossbones with the arms. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's what I hope you did, Will. I'm sure everybody's gonna have their opinion on what they want, what they hope it is. I hope it's something with a really distinct pirate theme to it. I know a lot of people, like I said, want retro. It's not going to be, look, one thing I want people to realize, it's not going to be a complete throwback. Will may have made something with hints to the 91 through 97 uniforms, but it's not going to be a 91 through 97 uniform. That is not something a student would do. And those are already designed. And so if it was a true throwback, hey, we're going to do the 91 uniforms. They would have got Will to design those. They would have went back and looked at the video and just made them. Now, he may have designed something with elements of that. So people need to get that out of their head. It's not going to be a full 100% throwback. And Will's not saying that, and he didn't have to say that. But common sense ought to tell you that.
No comment. It's like that. Will, are you testifying in front of Congress?
It feels like it. If I plead the fifth.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, there's no, those uniforms are already designed. You can't design something that's already designed.
You do bring up a great, because if they wanted to do a throwback uniform, like the Peach Bowl uniforms or something, for example, they would just make them. They wouldn't host a whole competition to create something that already exists. The point of the competition is to create something new.
That doesn't exist.
Now, Will, I have a question. When you were announced the winner, did your classmates, was there a celebration? Was there a party? Did they, did they treat you to a night out?
No, my classmates. So it was actually pretty funny. The night of the presentations, we all presented one by one, and then we went and sat in a room, and they decided the winner, and then they had us come in, and then they announced that I won. That was maybe 10 minutes before an ECU basketball game. And I was working for ECU basketball. So I found out I won. I celebrated. I got handed a giant check. And then I had to go work the basketball game. So I had to switch really fast. But no, they all congratulated me. It was kind of surreal. It didn't really hit me for a while.
Yeah.
But they did all congratulate me, and then a while later, when they actually posted about me winning the competition, because I didn't tell anybody. I told a couple of my close friends that I won, but I didn't tell very many people that I actually did it. When they announced it, my phone blew up. All my friends commented like, "Oh my gosh, congratulations! That's so cool! Can I see it? Can I see it? Can I see it?"
That's so fantastic.
Many people want to see it.
Yeah. I mean, Will, I mean, it's interesting when most college students, when they graduate, they're building a resume for the first time. Mm-hmm. And they typically don't have anything to put on it, right? Other than their college accomplishments. Now here you are, you're basically going into your first resume with a very impressive, background here by adding this. So, I'm just happy for you. I think it's a great thing. You strike me as a young guy that has a very bright future. So,
thank you.
But I do want you to celebrate it. So hopefully you guys get a night out on the town.
Hey, yeah. By the way, I was going to say the first uniform should be given to Matt Semenza. I mean, he played linebacker for Logan in the 90s. I mean, come on, right, Matt?
Absolutely, man. Special reveal.
I'm just hoping I get one. I don't know if I get one or not. I would really hope I get one.
Are you serious?
I have no idea. I wouldn't even know who to talk to about that. But
you would certainly.
I'm sure you'll at least get a jersey.
I would think that Will would get a framed jersey with Treadaway on the back. I would hope.
That would be very cool.
Exactly. Bubba, we have some people chiming in tonight, so I know that we're going to put some comments
here. Absolutely, we appreciate Thick Poppy chiming in on YouTube. He says the 2018 to 2020 jersey would be perfect if East Carolina had been across the front. Also, he alluded or referenced what I said earlier. he loves the purple and white combination with purple jerseys and white pants, and that was gone this year. Please bring that back ASAP.
Okay.
And then we also
like the Ruffin McNeil era black uniforms. Those are some of my favorites. The Nike black Ruffin McNeil era uniforms.
Purple numbers trimmed in gold.
In fact, it was Ruffin McNeil that brought those uniforms to us.
Yeah.
I looked at probably every ECU uniform ever made, and I'll tell you what, it's hard to find some of them. There's not a lot of pictures out there of what our old uniforms used to look like.
What are you looking for? What couldn't you find?
Well, I just wanted to see what we've done. You know, I saw a lot of the same. I saw a lot of the 90s era, but I didn't see much before that, you know?
I like the video. Will, did you come across the Script Pirates, the helmet that we wore in the 70s up through 1988? I was always a big fan of the Script Pirates.
Yeah,
I do love that Script Pirates. That's one of those vault logos, I believe they're called.
Yes.
Yep.
The Pirate Vault collection, that as well as the Pirate that we wore on the helmet on the end of Mike Houston's first season, that game against Tulsa, on the matte black helmet with the, I believe it was a purple chrome face mask. That was definitely a sharp look. And I'm trying to remember who did. It was kind of an updated throwback, if you will. And it had, I want to say it was kind of a purple chrome helmet, and it had the Script Pirates in white with a black face mask. It's pretty sharp looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen, I love those throwback logos, that pirate especially. I've made a couple graphics with that pirate head, and I love it. I wish we could use that more. I love all the pirates.
Just please
don't do Thompson now have you
highlighter uniforms, the all gold.
Damn it, you beat me to it. Yeah, did you find those, Will? The John Thompson highlighter yellow uniforms we played NC State in Charlotte in 04? Did you find those
uniforms? I did not see that. They were all yellow jersey.
Yellow, and it was not a subtle yellow. It was highlighter yellow.
We
wore purple pants,
Oof. Yeah, I would not have gone in that direction. I just don't think a yellow uniform would look that great. Like you said, it looks like a highlighter. It reminds me of the Color Rush game. I think it was the Jaguars, where it was like mustard versus ketchup. Like there was an all yellow uniform versus an all red uniform, and it just
I can picture like a yellow uniform. With, you know, yellow jersey with purple numbers, purple, you know, wording, East Carolina, and with like a purple stripe down the side of the yellow jersey, and then gold pants with a purple stripe going all the way up where the stripes kind of connect on the jersey and the pants, and then the gold helmet with the huge pirate logo on the side with the purple face mask. I think that could look good.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm describing it right. Will does not seem impressed by my description at all.
I'm just trying to picture it in my head. It's always hard to visualize it.
Picture West Virginia. Have you ever seen West Virginia's all gold uniforms?
I don't think I've seen West Virginia's all gold uniforms.
Look it up. It would kind of be something like that, except purple with the stripe instead of blue. Bubba, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I remember them wearing that. Obviously the Navy helmet and then the all gold uniform.
Yeah, but I would do a yellow helmet with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I guess that's the one thing that's great about the uniforms is the fact that you can come up with all kinds of combinations, some that we really, really like and some you don't. And then the great thing about it is something I like, maybe the guys even on the show wouldn't like, or vice versa. You know, that's what's. I guess that's what makes it so difficult. Did you
watch the Army Navy game, Will?
I did not watch the Army Navy game. I was in the middle of exams during that point.
Okay, you need to go look at those uniforms from that game. The Navy.
I did see the uniform, so.
Okay, what did you think? I love the Navy. I love the Navy uniform. The helmet. I love the big star. You know, the big Navy seal on the side. I did not like the jet on the other side. I think if they'd have used that Navy seal on both sides. That would have looked really cool.
Yes, I loved it. I wasn't a super huge fan of Army's, but Navy's and their release too. The way they released the video of them like on the ship with the planes flying by. Oh, they were beautiful.
Yeah, I thought they were great.
Well, what's so when you're talking about graduation, do you have any plans after graduation? Are you going back to school or what are you doing?
So I'm only a junior right now. I've got a whole other year.
I thought you were a senior. My bad.
No, I'm still pretty young, but I like school, but I'm excited to start work because I really like what I do. I love working for ECU just part time. I'd like to work in sports, doing design in sports. I've worked summer jobs for like a baseball team and stuff like that that have been very fun. I don't think I'm going to go to grad school or anything after I graduate. I think I'm ready to get to work. That just because I'm tired of taking classes. I'm not a big fan of taking classes. Certain classes, you know. I actually like my graphic design ones, but the classes that I have to take that I don't feel will help me, you know, get a little boring.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. So what do you you said you're working at the bowl game. Do you guys get to have any off time or is it strictly work?
I will be going the day before the game. I know the team travels there well in advance. I think the support staff is leaving a little later just so we don't have to miss Christmas. We usually have – I've traveled to a couple games and we'll have like the day before a game to, you know, go explore a little bit. I actually went to the Navy game when we played them a couple weeks ago. So was just in Annapolis, I feel like, just at that game. That game was amazing, by the way. Witnessing the 53-yard game-winning field goal was pretty crazy.
So Will, do you have any recommendations on Annapolis for us? I mean, we had a few guests on the show, and we definitely have a lot of good recommendations. But was there anything that jumped out to you, any great restaurants or anything like that?
I didn't get to go out in Annapolis.
Okay.
When I was there that night, I was tweeting the basketball game from the hotel in Annapolis. So I just stayed in and ordered a pizza and watched ECU basketball.
Okay.
And then woke up the next day, went to ECU football.
Gotcha.
So I didn't get to see much of it, but I'm excited to go again.
That's right, because we're going to go bowling.
We are going bowling. And I like how was the pizza?
How was the pizza, Will?
Pizza was actually really good. I don't remember where it was from. It was a local place, but it was very good pizza.
Okay.
Hey, now, Dave. There you go. Very good pizza. Dave, Thick Poppy chimed in again on YouTube saying, I have the gold jersey from the John Thompson era. It's number one. He called it Marvin Towns classic. Obviously, Marvin Towns was a tremendous running back and also did a nice job at times in returning kickoffs.
Wow.
Touchdown Marvin Towns. He was good.
I haven't seen
him and Art Brown both. I remember we had Art Martin.
Oh, yeah.
The running back combo of Art Brown and Marvin Towns. I really don't know how we lost so many games with those two at running back. But anyway, John Thompson was a talented fellow. You said you like our chances in the Military Bowl, Will. I think everybody does. I think the wild card is Boston College's quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, he was, you know, highly touted kid. Early in the year, good, got injured. Came back the last couple of games, was still banged up. If he's back to 100%, I think there'll be a completely different offense. Either way, I think, you know, if he's still not 100%, I really like our chances. If he is 100%, I think we're going to be in for a dogfight.
I think it's going to be a great game. I like just the way we've been playing. We've got so much fight in our team. We've won so many games just by the skin of our teeth, but it just shows how much fight we have. Like that Marshall game, especially coming back and winning. The Navy game just was a battle the whole game. I think they'll do what it takes to win.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about I definitely am surprised to see that the line has stayed three. I guess it's going to continue to stay three, but it seems like it's been three for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think it'll move much because it's three's a low line, and could Boston College win that game by three easily? So if you're going to bet that line, you're taking the Pirates to win it. It may move a little. It may move a little in our favor. I could see some people taking East Carolina late and pushing it to around 2 or 1.5. But it's not going to move much because I don't think a lot of people are playing that game. That game is too evenly matched to you're not going to have a lot of people putting money on that game. Not unless somebody suddenly sits out, somebody important suddenly sits the game out. Of all the bowl games there is to bet, I would if I was a bettor and I was just looking at games objectively, I would stay away from the East Carolina Boston College game at three because it's so evenly matched. I wouldn't touch it.
By the way, a sidebar, guys. Bubba wrote in our private chat, which I'm one of the things that don't get me started on, but I guess here we go. Pickett from Pitt, he opts out of the Peach Bowl. Not a fan. I know Matt Semenza got it. I think it's an honor that you get a chance to play in a bowl, and I think it's ridiculous. I think that we should take all the NIL money, take things away from them. I think it's a team sport. You're hurting your team, and especially Pickett.
I feel you on that, Dave. I agree with that.
I mean, you don't care about the NFL anyway, Kyle. So,
well, yeah, I agree with that about 90%. But here's the thing: the one thing that I'm kind of a little bit sympathetic to some of these players. Your kid growing up like me, not a lot of money, and now you're about you're a couple months away from becoming a millionaire, and all you can see is your ass getting injured in that last game. And you're thinking about providing for your family and all that, and that's where I can be a little sympathetic. But at the same time, I do think you finish your obligations. You're part of the team, and now you made a bowl game. It's your obligation to go out there and play in that game.
It's just a sign of the times.
There you go. That's what Riley thinks of it.
Well, actually, that was Reese. I can assure you, Reese has no thoughts on this subject. a second grade 7-year-old girl.
Reese what her opinion is on people sitting out bowl games. That would be interesting to see.
Reese, what's your opinion, sweetheart, on little Kenny Pickett for Pittsburgh? What's your thoughts on him sitting out a bowl game? I figured. Exactly. Silence. But
it's a live show, Reese. Come on.
What does that mean anyway? But no, Kenny Pickett. Yeah, like I tweeted, to each his own. But it's certainly not what I would do. And it's tough to, or it's easy, I should say, to judge from afar. But you just did not see this until the last few years. And my thing is, and you work year round to have an opportunity like this. You win the ACC, now you have a chance to play in the Peach Bowl, and you opt out. And I'm sure a lot of his teammates are probably okay with it because, again, it's just something that's become more and more common as time goes on.
Well,
yeah,
it's supposed to be a competitor. I mean, my God, you're playing a football a game. It's not like taking, Will knows about final exams. I mean, yes, you could get hurt, but you also could get hurt in the NFL, and you have a lot of the guys don't always get guaranteed money. So just because you go to the NFL, you could sit out. And to me personally, I'm one of these people that I'm teaching my kids now. You play a sport, whatever you're doing, period, you start something, you finish it. And I just have a problem with it's supposed to be, as Coach Houston talks about, the ultimate team sport. Well, if it's the ultimate team sport, then they should play the game. And especially if
I agree by and large with that, Dave. You finish out your obligations. I just can see where they're coming from a little bit. I wouldn't do it. I'd play the game. But I can't fault a kid completely for doing it. I'd rather them do that than do what Andre Allison did, go play and not put forth any effort.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if you're gonna go through the motions, then yeah, opt out.
Yep.
My thing is because
if you do that, you're gonna be, sorry, Dave, you're gonna increase your chances of getting hurt if you go out there and go through the motions. That's when you're gonna get hurt.
No doubt.
Yeah. No, I was gonna just simply say though, for me personally, that just gives more reason to going back to having a real playoff. You know, the reason why people think opt out is because they feel like they have nothing to play for. So give them something to play for.
Yeah, that's a good point. I tend to look at it from the standpoint of you know, how a teammate would see it. I think personally, if I was his teammate, I would lose all respect. You know, when you're a true team, you battle together. It's, you know, you go through summer workouts, you sweat, you bleed, you build a camaraderie. And from my perspective, if that was my quarterback, I think I would lose all respect for the guy. I just don't like it. It's you know, and unfortunately, you see it from coaches too. I mean, it's the coaches are just as guilty now in college football as these players who are always chasing the bigger contract. You know, they're always putting their names out there for a higher paying job. It's a sign of the times, but I don't like it. I prefer the old days of college football when, you know, it was a little more team oriented.
Well, it's like basically what it comes down to is it's a sign of the times, our society. Everything, you know, I'm supposed to be one of the kids from the me generation, but everybody's selfish now. It's not about putting everything for the common good. God forbid if we ever, not that we would want a world war, but everybody would be giving up quickly. Because everything is about me. And that just shows about this very thing, including guys with the NIL deals.
Will, let's go to somebody from the next generation. Will, what are your thoughts on this?
I really like Kenny Pickett as a player. I personally can see both. I agree with what you said. I can see him sitting out because, you know, he's this close to getting a major amount of money that'll like kind of set him up for life and provide for him, but then also sitting like just not even taking the risk. But I think you should play, you know, you got your team there, and especially when you're playing a position like quarterback and you're as big for your team as Kenny Pickett was for his team this year. If he doesn't play, that they don't have a chance.
You wouldn't think. Who are they playing? I don't even know who they're playing in the Peach Bowl.
Bella, help me out. I can't remember. I know they were in it, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But that's just one of
Matt,
my
– Anybody know who's playing in the damn Peach Bowl against Pitt?
Jeez, I cannot recall. I'll have to look
it up. Hey, Alexa, who's playing in the Peach Bowl?
Michigan State.
13 ranked Pittsburgh and 11 ranked Michigan State kicks off on December
3rd, 2021 at 7 p.m. on ESPN.
Only on the sports.
At Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. There you go. So it'll be Michigan State. I don't know. It depends on which Michigan State team shows up. Even, you know, if the Michigan State team that beat Michigan shows up, they might not have stood a chance with the kid playing quarterback. But you're right. When your quarterback's sitting out the game, that definitely decreases your opportunity of winning significantly. Think of all of a sudden if Holton Ahlers decided he was going to sit out the military bowl. Of course, some people may think our chances would improve. Those people are ignorant. But I –
they don't know anything about football.
Exactly.
I love Holton. I'm huge on Holton. I'm glad he's staying.
No question about that. I have a question for you guys. That's a nice segue because we're doing our roundtable. Somebody asked me this question, and I'm saving it for the show, which is means right now at work. Do you guys think that Mason Garcia will play in the bowl game?
Only if we're blowing out Boston College.
I don't see it, Dave. Sorry to cut you off there, Bob, but I didn't know you were chiming in. I mean, it seems like we have a very difficult time getting him in games, even when we have a significant lead. So I think the way this game is going to play out, it's going to be very close, and I just don't see it personally.
That was my feeling being a tight. It's such a tight line. If we knew that not that to underestimate any opponent, but especially Boston College, when it's a, it seems like we talked about this with the line being three, it's such an evenly matched game. I just didn't see it happen. That was my response, but I wanted to get the guys on the show response to that question.
Yeah, if I had to say one way or the other, I would certainly say no. If we do see him, I think it'll be one of a couple of scenarios. One, it would be, you know, a short yardage or goal line situation, you know, where Holton stays in the game and kind of like we saw, you know, on two or three occasions this year. And sometimes it worked out well, sometimes it did not. And I remember one time, you know, Mason threaded the needle. One time I think he ran for a touchdown. Maybe that was against Charleston Southern. But I think it'd either be that or – heaven forbid, you know, Holton goes down with an injury.
Exactly.
Or late in the fourth quarter when we're up by three touchdowns.
I'll take that one as well.
That'll be that definitely will be nice. Another thing, guys, do you think that another question I've been asked is, will Mason Garcia get more playing time next year, knowing that Holton will definitely be gone after the 2022 season?
Yes.
So we definitely will, just like the old days of Steve Logan, right, Matt Semenza, where we see maybe a series with a game with
David Garrard, Richard Alston. I don't know if we'll go that far, but I would expect you're going to see him have a lot more playing time.
That'll be fantastic.
I'd certainly hope to see it. That's a tough thing to do when you just automatically script in a backup to play one series a game. Logan was he was very unique about the way he did that. There's not a lot of coaches out there who have the guts to do it, but he certainly did. And I do believe though he will get a significantly more amount of playing time next season, and that's what he needs. Because he will be the guy at some point, and he needs to be ready to go.
Guys, one of the things I want to bring up signing day, the shot heard around the world when it comes to signing day. What did you guys think about Travis Hunter? All his life he wanted to play his dream school, Florida State. And lo and behold, he goes to Jackson. He goes in Mississippi with Deion Sanders' school. He literally flips. Jackson State. What do you guys think about that move? You know, one of the great things about it, guys, is that I know the talking heads have talked about it. I really believe that there were a lot of people that thought that the NIL deal would be, you know, the Alabama's the world.
So what kind of money is he getting at Jackson State? What's the rumor?
$1.2 million.
$1.5 million. For what? Who's giving it to him?
That I don't know.
Okay, I mean, you got to be being paid for something. You can't just hand them the money. Well, that's unbelievable to me. That should be a recruiting violation when you're getting people based on what your NIL is going to be offering. That's ridiculous. Neon Deion better be careful, Coach Prime, if you will. I think what Coach Prime is trying to do there is get Mike Norvell fired and get the Florida State job. I think that's what he's trying to do. And we'll see how that plays out for old Coach Prime in the long term.
It's Barstool Sports.
Barstool Sports. So Barstool Sports wanted him to go to Jackson State that bad, huh?
Well, that's the way to get your name out there, Kyle. If you're the sports objective, we can cough up $2 billion and get somebody to come to East Carolina.
Hey, you actually think about it. On one hand, you know, how much the story has been talked about in the last 24 hours, people referencing Barstool Sports.
A lot.
But it's trash. I mean, it's hard. I don't blame the kid. I mean, $1.5 million or whatever it is, I don't blame him. I'd have done the same thing. It's unbelievable that it's come to that, though. I mean, Florida State just got out-recruited by Barstool Sports. They didn't get out-recruited by Jackson State. But why wouldn't they sign the deal with the kid at Florida State? I guess they don't have a contract with Barstool Sports, and Jackson State does.
Sanders has something to do with Barstool Sports. I think he was like working for them for a little while.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. This is going to play out not well. And
Deion, let me tell you something. I like Deion Sanders, and it's going to sound like I hate him. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He would be the worst. Hey, Matt, how about this? You're a former player, and Bubba, you are too. He would be the worst player turned coach in the history of probably college sports, but especially with Florida State. I just don't see that. I don't believe that. That's like Michael Jordan being the coach.
I don't know if he'd be the worst. He is undefeated at Jackson State. I know Jackson State ain't Florida State, but they did have an undefeated season this year, and that's probably because the talent level he's getting at Jackson State is so much more superior to the rest of the HBCUs and the other schools in the SWAC. And that wouldn't be the case at Florida State. I do think he's going to get his opportunity. You know, I kind of thought maybe FIU would have gave him a call. I do think he's going to get an opportunity to coach at an FBS program, and it'll be interesting to see how he plays out. I ain't Peckerneck. I ain't never liked him. He's always been arrogant acting. Deion Sanders ain't for me. Bo Jackson would be my two sports star. Give me Bo Jackson over Deion Sanders any day of the week.
Absolutely. Yeah. That should be ever mentioned in the same sentence. Those two guys. Bo Jackson's one of the best athletes I've ever seen. Period, hands down. But that being said, for the people, the Florida State people, they want Mike Norvell fired. You could probably make a lot of arguments why he should be fired. Maybe.
I think he just got a contract extension by a year.
Yeah, but the bottom line is 5-7, I believe, Kyle. On the year. Yep. But the bottom line is, I think Mike Norvell, we've seen what Mike Norvell can do in our conference, and he goes over to Florida State. I really believe that Mike Norvell is a great coach. And again, this has nothing to do with Mike Norvell as bad at recruiting. I mean, it has to do with the problem I said all along with NIL is that now you've taken a situation with like Reggie Bush and guys back old school with the Southwest Conference, what they were doing when the 30 for 30, if anybody's seen that, if you haven't seen it, Will, you got to check it out. But the governor of the state was giving money to players. The governor of the state of Texas was giving the money to the players back in the day when I was a kid in the 80s. So, Matt, don't you think it's like the Wild Wild West? The NCAA has done a terrible job having no uniformity when it comes to no that was not a pun, by the way, for uniform. But there's no go-to on what's right and wrong. It's state by state. It's so, it's just so, the area is so gray. You have no idea which is right and which is wrong when it comes to stuff. So, you know, Hey, by the way, Kyle, you can actually take a pocketful or a whole suitcase of cash to go to the Food Lion parking lot and give it to a recruit, I guess. I mean,
it's crazy. And I hate it, guys. I really do. And, you know, call me old school, but to me, college sports are that they're just that. They're college students, and then professional sports are professional. And what really bothers me is when I hear people say, oh, you know, look at these poor college athletes. They don't get anything for their hard work. Well, that's not true. You get a full scholarship, okay? You do get paid, all right? And they get paid a lot more now throughout the course of a semester than they did years ago. So I hate when people say you don't get anything for it because that's just not true. The idea that a full scholarship is nothing really, really kind of disturbs me. Go tell that to some family who doesn't have enough money to send their kid to a college. But, I just don't like it. I don't like the way it's going. I think the NCAA for years has given control away. You know, first they gave it away to ESPN. Now it just continues with the NIL. And I hate to see the greatest sport in our country go down this hole.
No doubt. It's a travesty when you think about, one thing I will say, it's been good for non-revenue sports athletes. I think that's great for them. because they probably would never get the – they obviously would never get the attention that they're, some of them are getting now. So I'm happy maybe for them. But what bothers me, guys, here's another thing that bothers me. How about Bubba, help me out. What's the name of the quarterback from that went to Ohio State? Now he's transferring back to Texas. He basically bypassed the state of Texas as far as you couldn't earn any money, you know, for that. And then he goes and literally goes to Ohio State. And guess what? You know, I have no problem if a kid's talented, and I'm sure he is, but he was the fourth string quarterback at Ohio State. He was a fourth string quarterback at Ohio State. He couldn't win out the job. And everybody talks about how great he is. He's never played a down, and he has over $1 million.
So I mean, I just think that Joe Burrow was the third string quarterback at Ohio State. And then he went and won the Heisman and was first overall pick. Greatest college season ever.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of
that. Dave, the kid you're talking about is Quinn. I guess it's pronounced Ewers or Ewers.
Ewers.
But
it's Ewers. Yeah, I couldn't think of his name.
So
off the top of my head. But that, I just think that's a terrible precedent that has been placed. That is so. In other words, going back, Matt, I'm not one of these people that's hating like the money. What I'm saying is the kid didn't earn it. He didn't earn it at all. You know, we talk all the time. I still think there's going to come a point where a kid drops a pass in the SEC championship game, or maybe he drops a pass. Can you imagine somebody like a Georgia player that they're getting ready to win the national championship and the kid like trips and falls down, they lose the game. They could have won the net. And then the next week you're saying, I'm sorry, kid, you're not going to, you're off the team now. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of bad stuff that, in my opinion, it's not necessarily that I'm old school and that I want things to stay the same. Things are always going to evolve and change. I just think that the changes that are going on right now are not healthy for the sport.
Too extreme, and it's not being policed, and it's not good for the sport. Yeah. One thing I'll point out to these players, and we need to start wrapping this up. One thing I'll point out to these players is – And we'll see it in over the next couple of years. Care what you ask for. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You're asking to be treated like employees. Don't be surprised when you get treated like employees. In other words, when they tell you're asked to go home, you suck, go home. So that kind of deal. You came here, you're making $2 million a year. We expect you to win a championship. We don't expect you to go 8-4. You're off the team. So when you're asking to be treated like a professional athlete, don't be surprised when you're treated like a professional athlete.
No question about it. That's just one of my the things going on right now. I know I'm sure we could talk for hours about that subject for sure, but it's one of those things that it definitely needs to be. We've talked about that. We need to reel it back in. There needs to be national, that's what I'll say, national legislation to say, one, what it is. I don't care. I understand there's 50 states in America, but we shouldn't have 50 different versions of the NIL. It should be one, and then we're clear on that. And by the way, guys, I've got one more thing that I want to touch on, and then we'll get out of here. For all the people that support our Pirates, one of the things that hurts us is that we can't use state money for athletics. All our people that love the Pirates in the eastern part of the state, or if you're in like Bubba in the western part of the state and you love ECU, or regardless, it helps out everyone in the UNC system, is to make it where you can use state dollars for athletics. I think it's very antiquated. I think it's wrong that we're still doing something that I guess was back in the 50s or 60s, 50 or 60 years ago. Let's get with the times. And that way that our universities like East Carolina can compete with others in America. And that's one thing that I'm hoping our administration, if it's Chancellor Rogers, John Gilbert, Ryan Robinson, I don't care. Let's make it where we can have state money for athletics. And that will help us tremendously compete, not only the American, but compete against other Power Five schools that we would never have a chance with having that money. So that's one thing that I want to see here in the near future. What do you guys think?
I've always thought that the group of five schools like East Carolina and Appalachian should approach state legislature and show them the economic disadvantages of us trying to compete at the same level with schools in the ACC like UNC yep. that have a significant advantage because of TV contracts and be allowed an exception to be allowed to use state funds. So you see how, you know, they would never do that because they're going to do anything to benefit East Carolina and App State and Charlotte that would, you know, would not benefit UNC and NC State. But, you know, when you look at the distinct disadvantage we're put at while trying to compete at the same level because of television contract by the conference, et cetera, of schools in the Power Five, why shouldn't we be granted an exception and allowed to be used, allowed to use state state funds at other FBS programs that are outside of the Power Five? I'd love to see that happen, but it won't.
Well, that's the one thing. The state of North Carolina needs to get it with it because, hey, if you're in the – think about it. If you're a kid in North Carolina and you want to play like at East Carolina, well, think about it. You're going to go to a state. You're going to go to different places. Not only that, we were talking about the NIL deals, but also you're going to go to where maybe not. We had Sammy Batten on a couple nights ago. He said he didn't hear that about facilities, but I still think – not that we have bad facilities at ECU. I'm not saying that, but we can do a lot more. And the one way we can do that is by we have a lot of people that are, say, they're Pirate fans and they're legislators. Well, then do something about it. You helped us out with the Brody School of Medicine building. Now it's time to help us out athletically. Athletically. What's wrong? There's some people that they have such a problem with athletics, and I don't understand that. Why they're so – they loathe athletics. They want to say so much about – how great athletics are until it's when it's time to ante up and when it comes to money. So why not do it? And you had the, we got rid of where the antiquated thing about rule about not having alcohol at, you know, college events, at sports in North Carolina. Why not do something that would help ECU even more? And I'll be on that until they do something about it. I'll stay on them.
Yeah, Dave, as far as what you're saying, you know, along the lines of facilities, Coach Houston and his staff, they do an absolutely fantastic job of embracing and, you know, showcasing our history, all the things they've done within Ward, so on and so forth. That's been a huge step forward with this current coaching staff and the way they tell the East Carolina story. And then also going back to yesterday's broadcast on ESPN+, it was just 1 out of 9 around the country, and that was hard to believe, but
Bubba just cut off, apparently. So we were only 1 of 9 schools to do everything.
Yeah, we got you back.
All right, 1 out of 9 from around the country, according to a tweet I saw today. I don't know, maybe Will or some of y'all saw that. But, yeah, I was very impressed to see that. It said one out of 2 in the group of 5 and just 1 out of 9 around the country.
Who was the other? Because James told me Southern Miss did the same thing. Now, I don't know if theirs was on ESPN Plus, though.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up to see.
That would be, you know, if it was also Southern Miss, that's rather ironic.
No doubt. But the very fact that Jason Halter and Patrick
Jason Johnson, Halter.
Yep. And Patrick Johnson did a nice job. Two of our friends, not only friends, but also friends of the show. We appreciate
also family members.
Yes, they are. It's a family tradition. But they did a great job. By the way, guys, before we wrap this whole thing up, want to thank – oh, there we go. 1 of 9 schools in the country, 1 of 2 in the group of 5, and the only school in America to have a signing day broadcast on an ESPN platform yesterday.
All so right.
That was sorry. Inadvertently left that part out about the ESPN platform, but nonetheless, that's still a huge deal. I mean, cause
that's good for recruiting. What that is, it being on the ESPN platform, that's good for recruiting for next year. That means if you sign with East Carolina on signing day, you're going to appear on ESPN.
Right, and that's the biggest thing. Like you're saying, that's immediately what came to my mind, Kyle. Hey, Coach Houston and his staff, when they're on the road recruiting, when they come to campus for their officials or unofficials, and you know, you can say, hey, you know, if you sign with us, then this is the type of exposure we get here at East Carolina. We do things the right way.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll have fun with looking. I want to go back. I watched it live, but it'll be cool to go back and look at that once again. That was a lot of fun. Speaking of a nice segue. Will, you can watch it on Sunday night. We're working on now a actual signing day. We'll have not the signing day, but as far as the signees, the Crew 22. We'll do a breakdown, right, Matt, of that on Sunday night.
Absolutely. I can't wait to get into that. There's so much available film now on these kids coming out of high school on the various platforms like Huddle. So I am planning on diving into that. And, you know, I kind of enjoy that stuff, watching film and breaking down the recruits. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun show.
Are you going to do the Telestrator on Sunday night for us? Are you going to break out the Telestrator?
I'm going to do my best Mel Kiper impersonate. Okay. And, you know, we're going to talk about upsides. We're going to talk about 40s, verticals, weights and measures. So it'll be fun.
Bubba.
Yeah. Bubba. Yes.
Share the 1932 logo with Will there.
All right. Give me one moment here.
There you go, Will. What do you think of that?
Wow. I've never seen that. That is pretty sweet.
That is our exclusive logo. It's designed by my buddy I was telling you about earlier. It's a graphic artist that retired graphic artist now. He came out of retirement to do that to do that logo for us.
Yeah, that's really nice. I like that.
No doubt about it. One of mine fans, there you go. Bubba's got it on right now, wearing it. A great model he is, Bubba Rosenbaum. By the way, one of mine, we have overtime for tomorrow, so we'll have that great show, The Pirates Taking on Liberty Flames. Bubba, I know you're going to be there. Bubba's watching all 20 games tomorrow, right, Bubba?
Yeah, I will be there at. I will be there at the Spectrum Center for those four games. I'll probably go to all four, just having the opportunity to get that credential. So, Pirates play at 1:30 against Liberty. Then Virginia Tech, St. Bonaventure at 4, and then NC State and Richmond in the first game of the evening session, and then Wake Forest and Charlotte meet in the nightcap. And I guess it was maybe the 2019-2020 season I saw Charlotte beat Wake Forest. I used my coach's pass and went down to that one on a Sunday afternoon at Halton Arena, and the 49ers beat the Demon Deacons, and I'm not sure if this is the first time they've played since then or not. I think they may have played in Winston since then.
Our very own Bubba Rosenbaum at the shootout in Charlotte there, the Basketball Hall of Fame. That's going to be fantastic where the Hornets play the Spectrum downtown in Charlotte. And I know you had
subscribe on YouTube because I'll be putting some short video clips out there on YouTube throughout the day, and then also on Twitter at EsportsOBJ.
You guys remember the Pepsi shootout that used to take place in Charlotte?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, back in the 80s.
Not 80s and early 90s, kind of reminiscent of that.
They'd have South Carolina, different ones, right?
Yep. Yep.
I do. All right, so make sure that you watch over the next few days. Will, thank you so much, man. You are such a trooper to hang out with us, and looking forward to whenever it is the reveal. Can we guarantee that whenever the reveal happens, can we have you back on so we can talk about it and break down the reveal so you can tell us more and not be like a testifying before Congress?
Absolutely. I would love to come back on and tell you guys all about it. You know, I had a great time, and I'm super excited for you guys to see him. I think you'll really like him.
All right, Will, looking forward to maybe we're running to you in Annapolis.
Maybe.
Will, and maybe Will, make you see the design then.
Congratulations. Congratulations, Will. Tremendous job. And, you know, the future is bright for you, my friends. So, you know, really looking forward to seeing the reveal.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Will. The Will Treadaway Uniform Design Contest winner. We appreciate him so much. Guys, thank you so much as well, Matt, Kyle, Bubba. We'll get out of here until we talk to you next time, which will be the basketball overtime against the Liberty Flames. And then don't forget Sunday night, our breakdown of all the signees from the Crew 22, the 2022 football signing class in East Carolina. I'm Dave Richmond here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates.